My name's Stan. I'm a very grateful recovering alcoholic and pothead. A little bit of that thrown in there, so I'll try to remember most of what I'm going to say today. Still have that short-term memory loss kicking in sometimes. But I'm also could introduce myself this way. Hi, I'm Stan, and I'm a time traveler. Don't freak out, it's the truth. Because I don't know about you guys, but I have the incredible power to be standing right here and just zoom back into the past and borrow all kind of old painful memories and regrets and negative feelings. It really happens a lot when I'm lying in bed at night trying to go to sleep and I'm just thinking about my day, and then one thought leads to the next and it leads to the next, and before long I go to this place, and it's way back here, and I'm thinking, God, I wish I'd said that. Why didn't I say that? Or I'm thinking, why did I say that? Or why did I do that? And it could be something from when I was 15 years old, 20 years old. Folks, I'm 60. I'm projecting backwards 40 years, 30 years, 10 years, a couple of months. I'm just really buried in the past, where a lot of my regret is, a lot of my shame, a lot of the things that I feel guilty about. And it doesn't help me to spend much time there. And one of the spiritual principles we begin to embrace in this recovery process is acceptance. I just have to get to a place where I realize I can't change anything that happened. I have to accept it. And I may need to forgive some other people for things that they've said and done, unhealthy behaviors of theirs. But I also need to learn how to forgive myself, which I think for many of us is harder than forgiving other people. Like a person said in one of my groups one day, you know, if I talk to other people the way I talk to myself, I wouldn't have many friends. But that's where that comes from for me. It's the past, the things that I shoulda, coulda done and didn't do. Or the things that I did do and I regret. But if I can bring meaning to that in the recovery process, then I can move out of it and just accept the fact that I'm human and I make mistakes. So let's just leave the past back there. And as it says in the big book, we don't close the door on it, okay? We don't regret it, but we don't close the door on it, okay? Okay? We want to be aware of it and let it inform us, maybe motivate us, but move forward. So now, let me talk about my time travel into the future, which is where all of my stuff that I need to get that I may not get sits. And all the things I'm worried about, and all the things that may not turn out the way I want them to, no matter how hard I try, and all the what-ifs in my life. And that's where I have come to understand that the principle of letting go and letting God comes into play, right? I am, to some extent, powerless over the way things unfold way out in the future. I can take care of my side of the street, and that's what they talk about us doing. Do the next right thing. Take care of your side of the street. Seek counsel with people that can give you some direction. Take the steps you need to take and then let go of the outcome. And for me, that also means letting go of the expectations. Because I have this little part of my personality. I know no one else in here suffers this. But if it just turned out the way I think it should, it would be better for everybody. Okay, and thank goodness I'm not in charge, or it'd be a real mess. Okay, But letting go of expectations of the future is a really important part of my recovery. So if I can not worry about out there, like Mark Twain said, he suffered a great many awful things in his life, many of which actually happened, a few of which actually happened. The rest of them he just made up and felt them anyway. Because we have this mental capacity, just like going to the past, going to the future, I can feel it like it's real. Has anybody else experienced that? It is real, when in fact it's not at all. The only thing that's actually real is right here, in the middle. If the future is out there and the past is back here, then I've got the present. And this is all I really have. And this is a place that I didn't like to hang out for very long. In fact, one of the reasons I used to use is because I didn't like how it felt right here, right now. So I could transport myself. I'm not going to say, may I have an amen, but you can shake your heads if you identify with that. That need to get out of the present in any way I can, because I don't like the way this feels. You know, in the Bible, in Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time for everything. You know, there's a time for laughter and sadness. There's a time for planting and harvesting. There's a time for dying and living. There is a time. There is a time in this present when I do need to think about the past and talk about it a little bit. And I need to plan for the future. But I need to do so in the context of the present. Now, here's an amazing thing to me. I don't know where I go when I sleep. It's kind of like this little death. And then I wake up in the morning and I don't even remember where I've been. I might remember some of my dreams, but I wake up and it's like, oh my goodness, I've got another whole life today. It's been a really helpful way to think about it. Today, I've got this life. And within this next 24 hours, I have everything that makes up a life. I have food, water, exercise, friends, family, work to do, conscious contact to try to improve, beauty to appreciate, nature to notice and absorb. I've got the all of life. I have in a 24-hour period. And I forget that because I want to bounce into the future or stay stuck in the past. So here we are. We're trying a different way of living. And we hear from our counselors and we hear from people in recovery this thing that we all get so tired of hearing. One day at a time. I cannot tell you how many times I've been sitting in a therapy group and have someone say to me, I can't imagine not drinking for the rest of my life. I get it. And you know what? None of us can. If we tried to do that, none of us would be able to stay on this path because it's too much to think about. But I can say this. I can think of, I can accept, I can commit to doing it just today. And boy, is it amazing how many of those just todays can add up. I've had quite a few years in recovery now, okay? It doesn't feel like it, right? Like I said, I'm 61. I feel, and I'm not gonna look at anybody and say, hey, you feel this too, but I feel like I'm probably in my late 20s, early 30s. Energy-wise, how I view myself, how I experience life, I don't know where the last 30 years have gone. It's like this concept of time really is kind of artificial. It's an illusion. How many people in here have children that seem like they were just born the other day, and now they're in their late teens or in their college, or now you're looking at them as adults. Where did that time go? It's the same place that recovery time goes. If I wake up today and I am committed to my recovery process, guess what happens? I go to sleep that night, I review my day, I wake up the next day, I commit to my recovery process, the same thing happens day after day, a day at a time, and before I know it, I have months under my belt that turn into years. That turn into 5 years and 10 years and 15 years, and it's like, I can't even believe it's been this long. But here we are, a day at a time. I love haiku. And there's a great haiku, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it, that says, there's nothing in the song of the cicada that would let us know that it has any idea how long its life is. It's the joy of being alive in that moment that poet captures so well. It's the joy of being alive in this moment today together that we need to embrace and recognize. So there was a time in my life, if someone says, Stan, this is it, this is the last day you're ever going to live, I would have gone, well, let's light it up and go out in a blaze. Okay? Let's make it one big party, because here we go. Well, I hear laughter of recognition. But the fact of the matter is, today, I would want to be with the people that I love. I would want to make sure I did one more good thing. I would want to be present for the totality of my life without being impaired. What a difference for me. Now, here's another way to think about it. When we talk about being with family members or friends or sometimes other difficult people that we encounter, if you think about how you would like to live if this were the last day of your life, I ask you, how would you treat the other people, this particular person who's causing you difficulty, if you knew it was their last day? Would you be as judgmental? Would you be as impatient? Or do you think you could step back and allow them their humanity and try to connect and try to heal? Now, none of this I'm talking about is easy. This idea of living one day at a time is probably one of the most profound challenges, one of the most profound spiritual lessons that we're asked to practice in recovery. One day at a time, living in the present. But it happens bit by bit by bit, and we come to know our true selves. We reclaim lovely. There's another haiku that I love that captures this to me. And it's this. The snail climbs Mount Fuji slowly. Slowly. And so it is with us. So it is with us that we make these day by day by day steps toward being whole and healthy and recovery. One day at a time, well lived, creates a life well lived. The snail climbs Mount Fuji slowly, slowly. Please join me in prayer.